it still comes out that way. The levels of personnel in this agency or this department or division have been cut substantially from the 70s. There have been policy changes that have went in certain ways. I don't know if those were legislatively directed or not, but I think it's time that this committee, and I didn't want to do this in Labor Committee this session, either House or Senate. I fully intended to deal with this issue down here because it's a budget issue, although there are policy decisions to be made. Let me leave you with a few thoughts. First of all, let's talk about money. We've cut premium assessments better than 50% in about 3 years. Those are taxes that employers pay. You guys understand all that. And they will continue to drop. I would suggest that if we need money for Accident Prevention Division, I'll explain where I think that should be spent. That's an obvious place to get it. We've also got a source of revenue that I don't quite know what happens to it now, but the Governor's Advisory Committee did look at what happens now to fines and penalties. The research we had collected showed that typically these fines are, my opinion and the committee's opinion, quite low to start with, and then are litigated and frequently dropped considerably more. Out of all the fines collected, and I don't have the dollar figure, it's not a heck of a lot at the end of the year. It really isn't. That does two things. One, it's not doing.
Bob, would you back up there now? You mean you don't know what happened to it, or isn't it collected, or is it?
It's collected. I don't know.
But it's gone by the time it gets to where it's supposed to
well,
be.
Well, what I meant there, Representative Jones, is somebody's given a fine or a penalty, whatever you want to call it. They typically then will take it to a hearing where it's usually reduced quite substantially. I don't know what happens to the penalty and interest, those penalties money. You know, in the employment division last session, we said
they are collected, though.
They are collected. I don't know where they go.
Probably general fund.
I don't know.
I think, Mr. Chairman, they probably go into the workers' compensation.
Or the workers' compensation fund?
The admin.
Oh.
Administrative fund. Kept by the Treasury.
That's a second source of revenue is what I want to point out. One, philosophically, I think the fines should be raised. I think there should be more enforcement. And it shouldn't be so easy to lower those fines and perhaps dedicate those dollars to the division if we need money.
Well, are you saying you're unhappy with the work that Senator Trill's subcommittee, of which Representative Jones was a member, was somehow not satisfactory?
I can't speak to that, Representative. I wasn't here.
We didn't touch on that.
I was told there was no changes made.
No changes in APD. And you're saying
essentially.
You think there are more resources needed in APD, and you're suggesting ways in which they
to raise
be
the
found.
Money.
Would you be comfortable with the emergency board looking at that? Because I think there's a lot of legislation in the building that could impact this department, and there could be even cost reductions that would produce savings that could maybe be available for APD. Is that?
I'm just pointing out to the committee where there's revenue available for the policy changes I think are necessary in that division. One of the things that I think should be addressed is something that particularly bothers me is that the Accident Prevention Division is, instead of being an enforcement arm, enforcing workplace safety, is doing the job of the insurance carriers. And what they're doing is they're doing what's known as consultative services. They go out and do a workplace and tell people how to make their workplace safer. That's wonderful. But that's what we're paying insurance, workers' comp insurance for. We've passed House Bill 2104. The department has got a new administrative rules which require the insurance carriers to do this. And I would suggest that you transfer those personnel from consultative services over to enforcement where they belong. I supported the additional six FTs. I believe that the subcommittee did adopt some additional FTs. And lastly, the division has looked at certain types of workplaces which have a bad safety record, because we've cut the budget of this particular division so much since the 70s, they now don't do random inspections like they should. They don't see everybody that should be seen, so they have to pick certain industries or they have to pick certain employers to inspect. I'd suggest that the construction classes, which many were scheduled for a 50% increase in their comp rates this year because of their loss ratios, many were capped at 30%. The average comp increase was over 29% this January 1st. That additional personnel be hired and trained to enforce the OSHA laws in the construction industry also. Target those. That's all I've got, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
See, I raised you the money and told you where to spend it.
Yeah, Representative Shiprock, we discussed the, of course, and Mr. Long can respond to this also, but we discussed the FTE situation from the workers' comp. Mm-hmm. Over into the group and how those are going to be spread out, or you know what are they going to do? And it was a little bit hard to resolve what we were trying to do, because one part of it's here in this committee and the other part's in the other committee. So I hope we can get those together.
And well, it's all here now.
It's all here now. From all the transportation part is over here. Well, fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I probably would have felt more comfortable, maybe you folks would have too, if I'd have handled the policy questions in the Labor Committee. I just didn't think it was appropriate. I thought it was better handled down here, frankly, and it wasn't. Everybody knew it. It wasn't. I'm not.
Your point is you want us to utilize some of the means you suggested or other means to increase enforcement.
We got to have more of it.
Yep.
Well, Chairman, I might add that there was only a reduction of 8 of the FTE in the shift, or in the merger total. And, wait. Of course, two directors will be gone.
I see.
So there will be one head.
And also the policy decision about transferring those consultative over to enforcement. Let the insurance companies do what they're supposed to be paid to do.
Well, Representative, I appreciate your comments. I think we have to be careful in the consultative area that we are critical as the legislators for them not going in and inspecting, and then when they do and issue a citation, then we're also critical for them not sitting down with the employer, telling the employer what's wrong. So. I think it's a real fine edge here that we have to be careful that you do need a certain amount of consulting with the employers of the state. If you're going to issue a citation to somebody, you better be prepared to tell them what their problems are. And I think that to get at some of your concerns, it might be helpful, Ms. Chairman, if we were to discuss this with Mr. Long and perhaps Mr. Brown and Gerald Douglas, the administrator, and try to determine how they could best approach it, and then maybe, as you've indicated previously, draft a budget note that gives them the flexibility to come back in at some point and seek the proper help to carry out those functions. But I think that as we go through this reorganization thing, you have to be careful not to hamstring the agency in such a degree that they don't have the flexibility, because a lot of these things are going to be new adjustments, modifications throughout the whole biennium, and I think that if we do sit down and work this out, there's areas that we can compromise and agree upon to make the enforcement perhaps better.
Well, the only thing I need is a blessing of the legislature on a week. I can talk, and I get along with them very well, but if we could get an understanding that the legislature is serious about accident prevention. I mean, that is the last part of this whole package we've been working on this session in workers' comp. This is it, the last part. Maybe the most important, I don't know. And if there was some direction from this committee that they would
would be required to re-examine. As I've told you, I expect them to ask for more personnel. I think they need it. And so does the other people that we've worked with on this. But I'm not going to waste the money if it's going to be spent on something that shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. And I think I'd take Senator Hannon's suggestion very well. I think that's an excellent suggestion if the committee would bless that.
I see. Mr. Waits, you have a budget note in anticipation.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we did anticipate this. It fits quite well with what the representative has presented to you. When we were going over the transportation subcommittee's recommendations here, we all became aware that there was legislation out there that might serve to reduce the staff that's necessary in workers' comp for certain responsibilities and increase our responsibilities in other areas. So we've got a proposed budget note for you, not directly in response to this, but I think it fits pretty well. A budget note that would say, if legislation is enacted which reduces the staffing requirements for the existing workers' compensation programs, the agency and the exec department will cooperatively develop a plan to reduce or to reassign the legislatively approved staff and recommend any adjustments in either expenditure or position authority to the emergency board by November 1 of 1987. So that's a direct instruction that says, look at your legislation, determine whether you can reduce or you want to reassign your people. Bring that plan forward to the emergency board for their review. See if it addresses that.
How's that sound?
Oh, I'm not sure what it says.
Well, it directs them to come back with a plan for reassignment of personnel.
Due to legislation
that's passed and changes that have been affected, staffing ratios in the department.
Do you understand it?
Well, I understand its genesis in a slightly different context. I think, and of course, you know, we recognize Representative Shipwreck's expertise in this area. I think we'd understand the note in the workers' comp APD connection as well as its original genesis based on what you're saying today. My only concern is whether November is the right time, given what happens. This department hopefully will start about July the 1st. There'll be a number of things to do, and I don't know if you think November's the right time, well, then we'll make it the right time. I'm worried it's a little bit soon.
When are rates go up? Do they go up every January, or did it just happen this last January?
They went up every year.
Hmm.
And, I think the new director will set about reviewing that question, and I can tell you that's so because of the governor's rekindling of interest in the accident prevention conference and the governor's safety program. I mean, we're pretty much on record. The governor's pretty much on record. We tried to revitalize the governor's safety conference, and he was the keynote and intends to be called the governor's conference again. When I made my presentation to Representative Shipwreck's committee and to this one, I pointed to APD and our expectations mm-hmm. there. When I get a chance, I want to talk to you hopefully about a statutory amendment that would give us a little bit of latitude to move people so that when we get our feet on the ground, we can do it quickly. Personally, and I am one of the people that's responsible for the governor's position on workers' compensation, we support what Representative Shipwreck is saying about the importance of accident prevention. We've got 39,000 disabling injuries a year in this state, and we need to do as much as we can do.
December 1?
I'd like that better.
Okay. Representative Jones.
Yeah, I'm wondering, how long the effects of this it would take to get some benefit from it. Or I'm talking about the employer. What kind of an incentive it's going to take some effort. It's apparent because they're not doing it now. But I'm thinking about offering them something, to do this and really concentrate on it.
And if I may, Representative Jones, that is one of the most interesting and difficult to penetrate questions in this whole area because a majority of Oregonians work for small employers, less than 4 employees.
Right.
the way insurance is typically marketed, the incentive for a majority of the employers in terms of safety prevention, other than human concern, the economic incentive, isn't there to the same extent it is with the big ones. They can look at it and plot the dollars because they're self-insured sometimes and so forth. That's a real challenge. And it's something that I personally have been looking into. We're on the issue, but we don't have any answer.
All right. Well, it isn't that easy, really, but it is something that we could work at.
Now, the budget note,
that's going to be saying, doesn't clearly state, you know, any intention that there be additional staff in APD, particularly for enforcement. But the reason it isn't in there, because I didn't want to tie the hands of the department, I'm thinking, though, as you write the budget report, you might indicate that the subcommittee discussed the need for additional personnel in the regulatory efforts of the Accident Prevention Division. And discuss a variety of sources of funding for that, and you might just mention the sources that were discussed. And we would just have a record in the language accompanying this note. Ms. Wibbins.
Mr. Chairman, one thing we do have to remember also is that budget note, that all-inclusive budget note, also needs to be able to handle 2103 or 2900 or. So we have to have kind of a flexible timeline. I don't know what change you just made, but.
We moved it to December 1 for the general date of this note, which is taking a look at what did the legislature do, basically, mm-hmm. and then having exec and the agency work together to develop how the staffing might change and to come in by December. Or have the plan ready by December to be reviewed at the next D board meeting. Usually there's a December meeting.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, just one question. The fact that we're having this discussion, is this going to give us the flexibility to, if we decide and we redirect the policy of APD, we need 4 or 5 more enforcement officers that we're going to be able to do that?
That would be understood.
Yeah.
And that kind of flexibility does exist within the constitutional authorization for the emergency board.
Okay.
But this means so you didn't have to deal with that issue. It says it advises the emergency board this is expected and planned for by the regular session. Because we knew there'd be changes.
Okay, I'll go sit on the agency now.
Well, why don't you go over and work on the Senate Labor Committee? I notice you are getting that rhetoric toned down, and just get them now to get in gear so we can get out of town. I appreciate that.
We're going to go have a Saney Day party, and they're going to be in hearing.
Well, you're
so, Mr. Chairman,
Sir Wyers.
It troubles me the expressed interest in doing things about preventing accidents when information I have from a fellow who left working for the Workers' Comp Department because of the way that accident prevention. He worked in accident prevention. Mm-hmm. He left because of the way it was operated. That we were apparently the plan is to continue with Mr. Brown, who I'm told made so many changes, shifts. And
well, I don't think that's at all clear to me. And maybe Stan can help, but it's a separate functional unit within the department from the workers' compensation program area. It would not. I don't imagine that head of the unit for APD would be reporting other than directly to the department director, would be called the insurance commissioner. Isn't that right, Stan?
That's what's contemplated.
So I think...
then we get to Darrell Douglas. Thanks for the prompting.
Well, Darrell would be there, I presume, or that position would be there. I don't know. We don't hire or fire people here. But
who doesn't?
We don't.
Who doesn't? You mean
the Ways and
Means Subcommittee, right?
Right. Ways and Means Subcommittee.
Thank you.
Yeah, shipwreck.
Sounds a lot like old.
Runs out of the
new
room.
Wine and old wine.
Not
sacks
wine.
To me, but
yeah. But I think that changes are anticipated. And that was really the ending point of the whole discussion. We want to make sure there was flexibility there to accommodate those changes, and the changes would benefit injured workers by enforcing more. That's what we're talking about.
That's what we've been talking about.
Yeah. We were saying, well, Representative Shipwreck was saying that he thought they had been spending too much time doing insurance companies' jobs, in terms of, you know, of education and those roles instead of taking enforcement action where it was required. I don't know the nature of the complaints you had heard, but that was what we were talking about.
But Mr. Chairman, Senator Hannah, I can't resist making an editorial comment here because I am a member of the Labor Committee. It's easy to criticize the people in the agency sometimes. And before they get their feet on the ground, the legislature reconvenes and enacts a whole new set of statutes. And the chairperson indicated the Senate Labor Committee needs to work in a more speedier fashion to get the bill out. What troubles me with the Senate Labor Committee, it's, and I've been on there 10 of my 12 years now, and it's like having a bunch of cooks in the kitchen not knowing what the recipe is, but they're all authority persons, and they're enacting statutes without necessarily knowing what the effect is. And it's easy to say you're going to reduce costs to people with, without necessarily knowing what you're reducing. So
the chair's remark was not to characterize the entire
No. And,
but was directed more at certain statements from the Senate Labor Chair.
And my good friend.
Read in the press.
My good friend from Multnomah County here, I usually don't defend state agency people, but I think that workers' compensation is probably working under undue influence of having legislators change their goalposts about every 18 months. So with that, I'm not going to be too critical of them. Just send my next check a little faster.
You haven't seen me down there
interfering. I know.
Okay.
We get down here, then we get them testy. Now we want to get along, Mr. Hall.
Yeah. What do we do now? Do we hear from Ms. Wibbins on behalf of the other subcommittee? Because they were going to make recommendations then for limitations, Mr. Weeks.
Mr. Chairman, I think Joan and I have really put the numbers all together in one package for you. So, and there are copies on the end of the table for Mr. Long and his staff. There's a legal size sheet of paper, four sheets, I guess, which put each of these segments of the new department, or lay out the expenditures for each of the segments of this new department for you. And if I could, I'll just run through that and show you how we arrived at them.
Okay.
The first page, there are two units on each page. The first page is the insurance regulation and financial institutions. These are numbers that, for the most part, you've already seen. We had to make two changes in these numbers since you saw them last. That is because I discovered or was reminded by the agency that I was somewhat overzealous in the amount that I subtracted from the what used to be ASSD charges. We double counted those, so I had to put those back, unhappily.
Do you get a bounty?
No, he gets pleasure out of it.
So those were restored. Then we identified one of the positions that's in insurance regulation is a systems analyst, and after working with Ms. Hader in this, we decided it was probably better to reflect that systems analyst position in administrative services, so we moved that out. So with those two changes, the numbers are as you already have approved them. Page two, the two units on this page are accident prevention and workers' compensation. And by the way, the three columns are probably self-evident, but there's the governor's recommendation, the governor's revised recommendation, and the LFO recommendation. In this case, the LFO recommendation for these two units represents the department of, or the transportation subcommittee's recommendation to you as the reorganize with the reorganization adjustments too. So these numbers under LFO recommendation come to you from the transportation department.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hannon.
Mr. Weeks, in your LFO recommendation there, if you look at all the numbers, they're basically all the same except for other funds up above under subtotal. Other funds under personnel services, and then you drop down here and it's about $100,000 difference in the other funds.
Are we talking about aid accident prevention?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you're talking about $70,000 difference in the total expenditures. What is it shifting around? It seems as though the original governor's recommended revised recommendation and then the LFO recommendation. Basically, the numbers are all the same except just a few number of switches over here on the end.
Mr. Chairman,
what is the difference?
Senator Hannon, they are in federal funds. There was initially an attempt to make a reduction in federal funds, and then Mr. Mm-hmm. Brown appealed to the Transportation Committee and suggested that there really isn't any need to reduce federal funds, that they will use the federal funds limitation they have. So the reductions then were made in other funds, and in accident prevention, those reductions are standard PERS in personal services, and in S&S, Joan may have to help me, because do you remember what the S&S reductions were in accident prevention?
Mr. Chairman, there was the reduction in accident prevention had to do with technical adjustments in publication line items. And then there was a package of five safety inspectors approved by the governor and also approved by the Transportation Committee with related S&S. The committee approved their travel and telephone and office expense, but disallowed $40,000 of general related S&S. Mm-hmm. So between the publication technical adjustment and the general S&S to the five backfilled federally replaced funding for the five safety inspectors, that accounts for the reduction in S&S.
Okay.
That
okay.
package of five people was really to replace federal funds that have been reduced.
Mr. Chairman, mm-hmm. then the five FTE that are being added are not reflected in the FTE down at the bottom because there was a lower number to begin with.
There was a lower number to begin with.
Okay.
There were 146.
I was just trying to find out where these additional FTE, because it shows the same number across at the bottom, and I was trying to determine where those additional FTE show up at.
Those positions, Senator Hannon, those positions are vacant now, and they will be filled based upon the subcommittee's
okay.
approval. So we had 146, and now we're going to have 151.
Even though in the current authorized budget it's 151, but there are vacant positions. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Got it.
Actually, I think there are 157.
Joan, why don't you, as long as you're talking here about these adjustments, go ahead with the workers' compensation ones too. Which adjustments were made to the workers' comp? Because I don't have the detail on that.
And members of the committee, the workers' compensation area on these long sheets reflects the new workers' compensation division. That's comprised of the current evaluation division, compliance division, rehabilitation review, and a section that will be the administrative part. Those four. Part
that
of the
again.
I think this would help, Gary. I think I better
sure.
bring them out.
We didn't want to get you too hung up in too many details, Mr. Chairman, but Joan does have this all broken out for you.
I'm just trying to track.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I know.
Yeah, Senator Hannon.
Bogged down in details either, but it's hard to understand what the lump sum figure here and trying to determine the other committee's work.
Yeah, I didn't want to get into all the details, just wanted to understand it.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I hope this looks very cluttery and I hope this will help. On the first page of this handout, the top part of the page identifies the current sections or divisions within the current workers' comp department. Mm-hmm. The left-hand column is the governor's printed budget. That middle or that next column are, with the minuses are the technical adjustments made by the Transportation Committee. The third column is the limitation that the Transportation Committee approved. Under normal circumstances, those operating limitations would have been approved and passed on to full. The Senate, or the Transportation Subcommittee, in this case, approved the operating limitations and passed it on to the Public Safety Committee. At the bottom of the page, and I tried to highlight the new sections, we have the Workers' Compensation Division. It's made up of those sections from the top of the page, and they're all added together to make a new division. In this particular instance, there are the reductions made by the Transportation Subcommittee, and then there are some reorganization adjustments that apply to this new division, and they're kind of in the middle, in the fourth column over. In this particular situation, there will be 8 positions deleted from the current director's office and 2 positions and related S&S transferred from the current director's office. That leaves us with the old evaluation.
Gosh, I mean, let's give him a little bit of rope.
Okay. Okay, Senator Hannon moves that the dash 3 amendments be further amended in accordance with subject to form and style changes, the amendments presented by Mr. Long, and adding a repealer in the end of the bill to sub 5, section 2 of the A and Gross.
Question for you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Weeks.
Do you want to make this 10%, the transfer of 10% of any?
No, we wanted it only to the other funds.
Other
okay,
other
so funds it relates to 10% of the funds in section whatever that establishes the limitation. Right.
That reduces the amount we're talking about dramatically. I don't care that the federal funds are not affected, but it's 10% of the department's program I want to be able to move. I mean, give an inch.
Give an inch.
Or he did.
You want to move the total amount of the expenditure, 10% of the total, but right. You don't intend to move any federal.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that's what I was trying to ask the right. question. Maybe I wasn't being explicit enough, but that's what I was saying. You want 10% of everything or 10% of your program minus the federal funds?
It was 10% of the program the way I was thinking about it. And I guess
he wants 10% of everything, see, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, what you're doing is bringing in $6 million with APD money. Federal, that's where the big money is.
No. Is it federal funds?
Yeah.
So he's not transferring that.
No, but he would have the authority to transfer that much of other funds, Mr. Chairman.
Other funds is what. Oh,
with that much.
That bumps the total. When you add the federal funds to the other funds, then you raise the total amount that you can transfer while at the same time saying, I'm not going to transfer any federal funds, but I want my total to be as high as possible.
It's, you know, it's just how big is the measure? And I approached it from my standpoint as 10% of the department's program. 10% of the department's activity, realizing that there were restrictions on federal funds. So if you look at our amendment, it says what it says, 10% of any expenditure limitation.
But that then, the federal funds limitation under this language and what you just did, your interpretation of it, would allow you to treat that limitation as though it were any other limitation, and you'd have quite a bit more authority than the 10%, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, these limitations are separate, though. The other fund limitation is a separate limitation as well as,
yes, but,
as the federal fund.
But notwithstanding the fact that you can't utilize federal funds for a purpose other than they're appropriated the state for, you can still use that limitation to shift around.
But you wouldn't accumulate the two together and then take 10% of the grant.
Yeah. Yeah, he could under this language.
Now, if he did that, though, then he could take it all out of other funds.
Yes,
exactly.
Which is
going to get tricky.
Which is going to, I think probably we'd be more comfortable of any other funds expenditure limitation from within or loan. I think. Okay, let's do that. So let's. So Senator Hannon motion includes we're going to further amend this, any other funds expenditure limitation. Okay.
We don't want to lose one.
Yeah. Well, we're getting real. These discussions are calm.
I took my Thorazine.
I went out and had a nice lunch and invaded the House caucus and the caucus place and all too, so that helped my mood.
Got a couple more things.
Anything else in Senator Hannon's motion to amend the three amendments?
It does relate to the amendments.
Okay.
There was the question about whether you wanted the administrator of the workers' comp division confirmed by the Senate, and
let's close the Senator Hannon's motion. We all understand what it is. And then we'll talk about this one.
About the amendment, I don't care to move that motion. So.
Okay, so this is adopted now, Mr. Weeks.
I'm only bringing it back to you because it was an unresolved question.
But I've been enlightened. So.
Okay. My advice from legislative counsel is that this would not be a good thing to do, that the executive branch has executive appointing authority.
I'm not going to move it. Don't worry about it.
You talk with your colleagues and they understand.
No, I talked with the Board of Education.
And they understand.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman. So, we're talking about the workers' comp director.
Yeah.
As I understood, the makeup of this, we've only got one director for the whole three.
Yep.
The others are just hired hands.
Yep. Yeah. That's right. No different administrative function.
So there's no confirmation or anything else for no appointment. I mean, you just hire them and fire them. That's all it
is. And the head of this department's confirmed by the staff?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, sir.
I understand that. No issue there.
Okay.
Now.
A couple of other things. You have a letter to the leadership that encourages them to study the pawnbroker's problem during
Thank
the
you.
Interim. Okay. There will be budget language that cash flow problems that are experienced by units within this new department can be resolved through the single fund, but that those loans are intended to be short-term in nature and repaid as quickly as possible. So that'd be budget report language.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my last point is really something that I lost track of in my own notes, and that was something that Senator Hannon brought up about a report during the interim about pawnbrokers. And I couldn't find it on the tape, but I thought maybe you'd remember
it. I think you addressed it.
The interim study is it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, now, there's budget language that we've been talking about.
Do you want to move these two budget notes?
Yeah, so Senator Hannon's going to move those two budget notes in.
Wait a minute. Amend it from November 1st to December 1st, 87. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's
and
the first
then
question.
Then the budget note we discussed.
Peterson's budget note.
Which
Gary
has notes on.
Right.
Long,
Mr. Long's words.
Yeah.
Then.
Is that it?
Well, there's something I was thinking about after what we just did. We have quarterly reporting on the status of the accounts. Why don't we have budget language that says that that's looked at? The size of those reports say at least once during the interim, no later than July 1 of 88, just so that there's a way in to take a look at how things have moved about in about a year.
Oh, that the report
the
that's
board.
Made to the executive mm-hmm. department be presented to the emergency
but, yeah,
board?
It would look at the quarterly reports available for that past
about
year.
About the end of the first year of the buy-in?
That's what I was thinking, yeah. And that way we could look at everything if the e-board was interested. Because that sort of satisfies, I have a little bit of a reaction on the 10% that we did. And so there'd be a little peek at the agency by the e-board.
Then, Mr. Chairman, it would be the status of the accounts as described in the bill, as well as a report on any transfers that may have occurred in the first year of the buy-in, mm-hmm. and any that are projected for the second year.
That's right. Just a little.
In motion?
That was in your motion.
Yeah, no.
I heard you say that.
Yeah, but do you want a motion to move it out now?
Well, first of all, objections to Senator Hannon's budget note language. Hearing none, and Senator Hannon moves.
As amended.
Yeah, thank you. House Bill 3381, as further amended by this subcommittee to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Objections? Hearing none.
I wrote you up. I don't know what happened in the process. I wrote the chair a letter on June 1st about two positions that we missed in the budget request.
That's in front of you, Mr. Chairman. Each of you has a copy.
The motion carried.
Yeah.
What we have to do.
This may be something that you can handle otherwise, I think.
Oh.
This is a letter saying, really.
Downward reclass.
Yeah. Well, the
upward reclass.
All the administrative positions were originally or intended to be scheduled at salary range 34. Two of them are in there at range 32, and what's being requested here is the authority to put the two that are not at a 34 up to that level within the limitation that you've already approved. Additional limitation.
Is that okay?
Reclass authority without any money.
Well, it's consistent with their policy as far as the salary level of administrators, and probably makes it more okay in the sense that it's going to be done within the existing limitation or the limitation that's already been approved. So
we could just do that. We can do that outside of the budget as a legislative review agency.
I think that's
right.
Right.
Now.
Yeah, that doesn't have to go before the full committee, Mr. Chairman. I just move that we recommend approval to the full Ways and Means Committee, I think, is as far as it goes.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hannon, I don't even think you need to do that. This is part of the reorganization plan that wasn't submitted initially, and it's sort of an amendment to the reorganization.
It makes 34 as a normal division head.
This is more
status.
For your information.
Senator Hannon moves that this subcommittee grant the request for upward reclass of the administrators for accident prevention and administrative service divisions. Hearing no objection, that passes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate the committee's patience and cooperation.
I think we'll see each other again one more time. The rest of the dispersed department. Now,
you wouldn't do that, Bugs.
I'd love to. Can you stick around for? Can we take a 5-minute recess and then we'll come back and hear a boxing bill? We're in recess. Safety Subcommittee will come back to order and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 470 and call Mr. Bruce Anderson. Welcome.
My name is Bruce Anderson. Waiting for Senator Cohen. Senator Cohen wanted to review this bill with you, but I'm at your disposal.
Why don't you explain why you think this bill should become law?
Currently, Oregon is one of two states without a state boxing commission. There's many abuses in the state of Oregon. The state of Oregon is known throughout the boxing community nationally as an easy place to get away with a lot of things because there's no standardization of protection for participants or the public interest. I refer to much media coverage of mismatches, of an ongoing theme of this kind of behavior. You have tough guy fights here that are with little or no supervision, where a citizen can go in and think they want to try it, put the gloves on, not knowing who they're going to get in with. A kid can get knocked out in Portland and 3 days later be knocked out in Eugene. This is a matter of fact and as a matter of the record. Fighters coming in here under suspension, most recent being fighter was suspended and a manager for life was suspended in California. Generally, there's reciprocity. If you're suspended in one state, the other states recognize it. Portland didn't recognize it, let the fight go on, let the manager go on. Finally, Portland had a commission meeting after the event, recognized the suspension, and the same manager showed up in Eugene here at the most recent cards with a fighter that So in order to protect the public interest, and you have to have standardized record. You're beginning to see some of the East Coast players coming in here, managers, fighters being brought in here, or kids from this area being taken out of here to go to Atlantic City and fight. And some of the same names are coming in that showed up on the New Jersey criminal investigation of corruption and RICO violations in the boxing industry. You notice that this bill is tied to those statutes. So there was extensive testimony in the Senate hearings and about three work sessions relative to this bill and specifics in those areas of need.
Okay. So it would set up a new commission?
It would set up a new commission structured pretty much like the Racing Commission. It would be a self-supporting commission. The there were some modifications, amendments relative to the staffing of it in committee. The revenue here, that doesn't indicate. I think Mr. Weeks has some revenue figures that I had gathered from throughout this various state commissions in Oregon, but does not reflect fees, registration fees, manager fees, and so forth, which would be on top of that. So we're looking at significant amount of revenue.
Okay. Now, there's another bill.
There's another bill, the revenue package, which consists of the existing state, existing law, which is which would be the funding package, would be under existing law, 6% of the gross receipts are taxed. In some jurisdictions, there are events taking place in violation, for instance, most recently in Coos Bay, that does not have a boxing commission, had tough guy fights in violation of the law because there's no sanction. Consequently, no revenue, no 6% was collected. This is common here. In some cases, I've discovered where part of the 6% has been waived by various jurisdictions. So conservatively, I'm probably 25% under actual revenue that's out there with aggressive collection and prudent.
Let me understand. There's no revenue now coming in because there's no state regulation. And so you're referring to another bill that's in another committee?
Another bill in House revenue has the funding package.
Okay. Do you know the bill number?
As of this morning, it was 3256.
Okay, so House Bill 3256 would provide for revenues to fund the program contained in Senate Bill 470, is that correct?
That's correct.
There's Senator Cohen, why don't you come up, please?
Sorry, I might have a business committee meeting with a few of your House bills over there.
Oh,
not yours, necessarily.
Oh, not mine well, then. Necessarily.
I don't know whose they are, but there are a lot of them in that committee.
Okay, Senator Cohen, so far we've learned that Oregon is one of two states without a state boxing commission, that various jurisdictions handle boxing and wrestling also, I think, by ordinance, and that there's a bill, House Bill 3256, that would raise some fees to fund Senate Bill 470. Anyway, that's what we've learned so far.
Okay, there is a current statute which allows those municipal commissions to raise the same amount of taxes as what you would collect for the statewide commission. The problem, I guess, with that is the municipalities sometimes organize those commissions they're not well staffed enough to collect the appropriate money at the gate that should be either collected, or they're also not well staffed enough to do the safety measures to really check on and Bruce can talk more about that, the kind of concerns for fighters who might fight in one town one night and be injured and then come and fight in another place.
He mentioned
that. I think that the concern is that in drafting Senate bill, this Senate bill, what we looked at was not proposing to necessarily change the taxing structure, but divert it to a single entity and then have it, once you got the real collection, this legislative body could look at how you were to distribute the taxes that came in, much in the same way you do the Racing Commission. So we modeled this bill as it came out of the Government Operations Committee in the House side, and I might say they worked really hard on it. They went to a subcommittee and they really worked over the bill. It's my opinion that the bill ought to function, or this commission ought to function, similar to what we've imposed on the Racing Commission, so that the legislative authority for their budgets and for the operation does come through here. Mm-hmm. And that we not give them necessarily any more money than what's been collected historically. I do believe that ultimately there will be additional money just because they're going to collect what's owed to them, as opposed to the little municipal commissions. I mean, they don't put anybody out there to watch the gate or to see what's happening safety-wise. So in the process of dealing with legislative counsel on this bill, they said that rather than try to restructure the current taxing portion of the statute, and if you reflect, there's lots of pages of ORS that's devoted to Boxing Commission right now. They recommend that you rewrite the whole statute, and we couldn't just amend it and that's why we were forced with looking. If you need a taxing bill, it has to originate in the House, and the Legislative Council said, we think you ought to redraft it. We would hope that comes to you in this same group, so you have both bills to look at together. I would ask you to look favorably on the bill and to work through the kinds of numbers and the kinds of staffing requests that you've been presented with here in terms of expenditure limitations, so that we can merge the two bills at your request. Hopefully we can get it down here and see what we can do. It's a complicated
How soon is the other House bill then supposed to come down?
We're in the process of talking to Hostico, who's scheduling that bill, and the amendments are ready to go and come out of House Revenue.
The bill is scheduled for Thursday morning.
Okay, now, Mr. Anderson was in my office and discussed this with me, and the only concern that I had was that the 6% will apply to live gates, but it will not apply to closed circuit TV or cable vision. If you're watching a fight on HBO, the 6% won't apply to that.
No, it will not apply to that. Okay. It will apply to closed circuit, which is like renting the Fox Theater or however, the Coliseum. Like there's a Sphinx-Cooney fight coming up. That would be just like a live event, and that would apply to that. Some of the cities have been have gotten some funds that were dispersed to veterans groups, and we were hoping that we may be able to work something out where those funds would, in excess of the needs of the commission, would be able to be applied to those cities. However, the commission or committees want to do that.
Yeah, the existing statute, I believe, turns the money over to veterans groups.
Well, in theory, Senator Hannan, my figures that I've gotten from those cities, a number of them, in one case particularly, the last 2 years, the Boxing Commission took in $4,000 each year, and they turned over to the city $1,400. And under the statutes, the city must disperse those funds 60% to nationally recognized veterans organizations and 40% to whatever other charities they wish. Some of them use it for baskets for the needy, some for amateur boxing clubs, etc. But there are no controls. There is a great deal of money unaudited, unaccounted for. These are not city-connected and subject to prudent management.
Well, the commission in this case, when they apply the 6% tax, the money is generated and that'll run the commission. And then any other excess would
come to you all.
Come to you all.
Just be in the fund and you're limited.
Is this being drafted in your amendments then, or?
No, this is in, no.
You know, the 6% will go into the fund.
Yeah.
The commission would be limited by your expenditure limitation on what you're going to put on them to spend, and the rest would be made in the fund until they come back, they pay off their loan, and then you would get, you, really this body, you here in Ways and Means, would have an opportunity to distribute what, however, if there were excess funds. We're now most concerned about getting it operating and running and to not change the amount of the tax that's being requested. We're not upping the tax. We're just trying to get a uniform collection that's all, you know, it's on the statutes now. It would go into that same account to the extent to which there's money left over in that account. It's you all's business to do with it. And
a city that was already taxing, would they still have the ability to tax?
No.
In other words, would there be a 6% tax applied by the
no,
state?
No, I wouldn't.
And if a city wanted to use that as revenue means to use the revenue for whatever purpose, would they still have that ability, or would that be eliminated?
They would not, Mr. Chairman. It's my understanding that they would, you know, you're not proposing to have city boxing commissions and an overlay of a state boxing commission. What you could do was make some arrangements for those sites that the in excess for the general administration would go back, you know, at some point in time, you would have the discretion to do how you wanted to do in the way of distribution.
But what we'd be doing then is taking the commissions and it's a taxing authority away from local jurisdictions, give it to the state, loan the state commission some money from the general fund to be paid back within the next biennium, but somehow yet have to address the groups who are benefiting from those revenues.
Okay.
Wouldn't we have to do that?
I would think you could. We haven't made any directive provisions to how that is to be done. You look at the current statute and reflect yourself on how open-ended it is in terms of how they want to distribute it. So I don't have any problem looking at some sharing of distributions once you get the mechanism in place to properly police these events and make sure that you're getting health and safety covered.
I understand what your goal is, but as I think about it, you know, it's a takeaway from some folks who are counting on some dollars. And usually when you take things away from people, they do complain.
Yeah.
Now, but this would also allow fees to be charged, licensing fees, that could help to support the commission.
Absolutely.
So you wouldn't necessarily need all of the money.
Right. I firmly believe you are going to be collecting more money than that's ever been available to those local jurisdictions before, if it's done appropriately and the events are sponsored appropriately and you're getting what the take is at the door. And I have no, you know, I don't mind, you know, some formula once you pay back the loan and you can operate the commission of how you people want to distribute it back to, or that's in the legislature now. I mean, they're governed by statute what they can use it for, and you.
Representative Jones.
Senator Cohen, I guess I missed. What are they collecting now? Is it a set fee that somebody is collecting?
Well, the statute allows each one of those commissions to collect a 6% tax.
No, the other commission, but in existence. But are they collecting, is somebody collecting some taxes on price fights?
all of the other commissions, whoever they have, whenever they happen to go in, and to the extent to which what they do of it. Bruce might have the numbers on that.
Yeah, it varies from $1,700 that in Medford, for instance, in 1 year it was taken in, to as much as $8,000. But you see, for instance, Portland took in $50,000 based on a 6%. It turned over to the city $8,000.
Uh-huh.
You see, there's no accountability. There's no. Medford would take in $1,700 on three events. The Hillsborough Boxing Commission has 16 events and reports $1,900. I mean, there's.
Okay. So. These commissions are set up by an ordinance, then by a city?
The current law says that with a petition signed by 50 people, that I can walk in and that the mayor of any jurisdiction shall appoint five commissioners, one being a doctor, and establish a boxing commission.
I see.
And so now you have lay people that are not governed by the city government.
Collecting taxes. We've authorized it by statute.
And protecting fighters.
Representative Jones.
We create the state boxing commissions that eliminate the local one.
That, I think, is what
yes, this,
that's
yeah, the point.
That's what they
do.
Mm-hmm. And that's in revenue.
Yes, the sort of rewrite of the state tax piece
right.
is in revenue, and we hope to get a vehicle for you to.
I got the idea now.
I'm sorry for this bifurcated
misjudgment. I mean, you can't raise taxes in a Senate bill because
of
the Constitution.
I didn't think we needed to raise taxes because
you were thinking of them as fees or something, but they're not.
The statute was there. I didn't assume we were going to really create a new taxing statute. It's the authority.
The Revenue and Ways and Means Committee now.
Well, but it's in both now.
Yeah.
Now, there's an awful lot that has to be put together. Now, how much have you done in working with cities and counties or the substantive committees, or has that been dealt with? I don't see them here.
Okay. There are the city of Portland, it's my understanding, who collects the most,
right.
has sort of said, okay. The little cities who might think they're going to all of a sudden find a pot at the end of the rainbow are saying, hold it, you know, we want a piece of the action, which I think is fair.
There was no opposition in the hearing. Nobody showed up to the hearing. There was one letter from the city of Eugene in opposition to the bill, but it was.